Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.
Going to continue Luke's account of Jesus. We're going to continue to focus on that. Emily's going to offer a reflection or two before I preach my sermon as she reads the scripture. If your first reaction is looking at the bulletin, is there's something different about this? You are not mistaken. There's something different about it. Emily's going to talk a little bit about it. But I wonder if the idea for us today isn't this idea that we're going to sing in a moment after Mike leads us. And Mike, you're in trouble. I can't believe you did what I told you not to do. Okay? But anyway, I got to believe that hymn number 344, we're going to sing that in a second there. And how does God ask us to follow? Does God ask us to follow full of ourselves? Full of our own self-identity, convinced that we know everything? Or does God invite us to follow humbly? And I'm going to focus on a little bit on that when we get around to doing the message. Welcome. Welcome to our service this morning. God bless you. May you be enriched. Would you
please stand? Today's scripture reading is from the book of Psalms on page 548 in your pew Bible. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, so that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be manifest to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and prosper for us the work of our hands. O prosper the work of our hands.
We're starting a new tradition this morning. Pastor Dennis and I spoke this week, and he said, when one of us preaches, the other one usually just does a prayer. And not that prayer is not important, but you have two educated theologians here, and we thought it would be interesting to give you two voices around the sermon text for the day. So we decided that each Sunday, whichever one of us is not offering the sermon is going to read the sermon text and take a few moments to share some thoughts or ideas on that text. We also decided that this moment would be totally uncoordinated. So now he has an idea because he heard it at 9 a.m., but he had no idea what I was going to say. And we think sometimes what we say may go well together, and sometimes it may not. But our goal is to encourage you in the hearing of two different voices to find your own voice when it comes to Scripture, to find your own meaning and purpose. And so this morning, our sermon text is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, and it takes place very early in Jesus' ministry. He has just returned from his own baptism at the River Jordan by his cousin John the Baptist, and he spent 40 days in prayer and fasting and temptation in the wilderness desert. And Jesus is just beginning to accept his identity, his calling as a son of God. And he's beginning to teach in the synagogues and the churches in his local area, the area of Galilee, around the Sea of Galilee. Now, last week, Dennis shared what I call Jesus' coming out party, where he goes back to his home church for the first time, and he's asked to read from the Holy Scriptures. And he picks up an ancient papyrus scroll that looked nothing like this Bible, and he claims these words, these ancient words, for himself. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jesus is starting to claim his own identity here, and if he had stopped with those words, that would have been the shortest and sweetest sermon ever preached. But Jesus, sometimes like us, doesn't always know when to quit, or he chooses when to keep going, when to speak words of truth that may be uncomfortable for those people around him to hear, to challenge people, not to just be happy with who they are, but to challenge them to strive for more in life. And so he continued to preach that day, and his words made people so angry that they stormed out of church and tried to push him off a cliff on the edge of town, but he survived and came through, and he continued speaking. He spoke in other synagogues and other churches in his area. The next verses say he spoke to a demon-possessed man in Capernaum. He spoke words of healing to Simon's mother-in-law, who had a deadly fever. And he refused to be silent. And he started to speak so much that crowds began to gather. And very soon, he needed some assistance with crowd control. And that brings us to today's message, which some people have named the calling of the first disciples. Now, those of you who are United Methodists or who have studied a little bit about our tradition, you may know that our global motto is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. And if you were not raised in church, not all of those words have a meaning for you, right? Disciple is a word that we don't use very often anymore. And so I think it's important for us to think about, what does that mean? And how do you become a disciple of Christ? So for me, in today's text, the author in Luke is trying to break it down for us and trying to make it really simple. Now, I was raised in the Southern Baptist Church, and we had this song in Bible school. You might have sang it, deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. And then it goes, and wide. You remember that part? I sang it to my daughter last night, and she was like, why are you saying hmm? She's three. But I heard a pastor, an educator, a professor actually, speak at a conference about making disciples, and he used this analogy that the Christian church today is doing just that. We're doing hmm and wide. We don't want to challenge anybody to go too deep in their own spiritual faith or in their own walk or in their own personality. We want to reach wide, right? Reach all the people in the world and share God's love with all. But let's don't make people too uncomfortable. And I think in this text today, the gospel writer is encouraging us and inviting us into the depths. And it's in the depths that we find that true transformation, that true hope and change. And so I invite you now to look ahead or read along for Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Once, while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon. And he asked him to put out a little way from the shore. And then he sat down and he taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Now, brief interruption. Some of you may remember that Jesus was a trained carpenter, not a fisherman. And now he's gotten into a master fisher's boat and he's telling him how to do his job better. Just picture that for a moment. And Simon answers, "Master, we have worked all night long, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and they filled their boats so full that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Don't you wish you could have been there when Luke got that first draft out, laid it out? He probably had a remark in there talking about Peter with his hubris, with his conceit. I mean, to be fair, as Emily indicated here, you've got a carpenter telling a fisherman how to fish. I was talking to somebody the other day about the memorial service we had for Mary Beale, and there was some kind of comment made that it turned out it was in my lane, not the funeral home's lane, and some people didn't understand that, and I said, funeral homes and I have a deal. I don't tell them how to embalm people, and they don't tell me how to preach. Okay? But this is not what's happening here in this scene. This scene is a little different than that. It's a little different from that in the fact that Jesus is turning around to an expert fisherman, and he's saying, you're not doing it quite right. So you wonder if perhaps in that first draft of Luke of his gospel, as he's writing this thing out, says sort of in parentheses, Peter muttering to himself in exasperation because he knew better, he had a better idea of how it was to fish. And then perhaps over there it says, okay, master, because you said that, I'll do it, parentheses, but I know I won't catch anything. Don't you imagine that's the way it perhaps went down in the first draft? Fortunately, though, somebody probably looked over Luke's shoulder and said, that's sort of the way it happened, but let's give Peter a little bit of a break. I love Peter. I can tell you, I am so like Peter. If Peter has an opportunity to put his foot in his mouth, he'll do it. That's me. And sometimes, Peter, he'll even sit down and say, you mind if I sit down here? I need to put both feet in my mouth. But that's not quite what happens here. He doesn't turn around to Jesus and say, this is impossible. He just sort of observes, I know you had the miracle at my mother-in-law's place. I know you made her well. And I've heard you preach, and I know you've done all kinds of these miraculous things in synagogues throughout Galilee. So I will go ahead and do this. And then this miracle happens. This miracle happens, and lo and behold, what they thought could not happen happens. This Jesus guy, this Jesus character, indeed fills the boat with fish. And what's Peter's response? Peter's response is one of declaration of sinfulness. He comes up and says, I was filled with hubris. I was filled with conceit. I was filled with this idea that I was convinced I knew there was no fish out there. And I'm sinful in the fact that I am not able to see. I was not able to see the power of you in this story. Now, I would ask you the question, where are we in this story in the 21st century? I would suggest for us to be like Peter. Be like Peter. Be prepared to have God surprise us. Have God surprise us with the miracles that can happen. I've been using the ideas over the last 3 or 4 weeks of emotional intelligence, EQ. It's this idea of being able to look at ourselves and know who we are. I've been telling you for the last couple of weeks that Jesus knew clearly who he was. And part of his task was to persuade others to know who they were. I think you're seeing a little model here of how it is to go about of developing your own emotional intelligence. It's this idea of first recognizing that there's a possibility that you might have something to learn about yourself from what's being played out in front of you. But the second element is the one that many of us sort of build these shields around ourselves, and we decide to say, we're not going to be vulnerable. Transformation, real change is almost impossible unless you are prepared to step back and make yourself a little vulnerable to the Word of God, a little vulnerable to the Holy Spirit, a little vulnerable to what God might be calling you to do. That's the task for us. That's the homework assignment we have here. Where is it that we walk in and say, you know, I know more about this than you do, but maybe, just maybe, I'll let you talk me into at least giving it a try. And then being prepared to step back and be astounded at what it is that happens in spite of our own misgivings. That's the challenge for us. That's the homework assignment for us. That's the task for us in front of this particular passage, is to see ourselves in this and not be like Peter under most occasions and put our foot in our mouth, or maybe even sit down and put both feet in our mouth and talk about how we can't do something. And instead, open ourselves up to the possibility that change is possible right there in front of us, and allow ourselves to be vulnerable. Now, the passage here is both a miracle story and a call story, and Jesus is calling out. And you might hear this passage and think that you've now got to go out tomorrow and fill out your application blank for Iliff School of Theology in Denver, or maybe better, you might want to go to the Wesley Seminary in Washington, D.C. You hear that? That's why at this point it's wonderful it's a monologue, not a dialogue, you know? But you're actually not required to go do that. And the reading that Mike did of the psalm, I think, helps us out with that. The reading that Mike did with the psalm is to understand, still, accept the idea that what God is offering here in this passage out of Luke, which is the idea of examining who we are and being prepared to let ourselves be vulnerable. But God is also saying what you're doing in the psalm, God is also saying what you're doing with your hands, what you're doing in your vocation on a day-to-day basis. Even lawyers. Come on, let's chuckle a little bit there. Grace is not here, but we have at least one lawyer at present. Grace is here? All right, we've got two lawyers present in the room. The psalm that Mike read said, "Let your work be manifest to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and prosper us for the work of our hands." And then the psalmist comes back and says, "Oh, prosper the work of our hands." He's not saying you have to, in order to serve God, go check into a seminary application process tomorrow. He is saying, if you're a lawyer, go be the best lawyer. Go be the most Christian lawyer. If you're a homemaker, go be the most Christian homemaker you can be. If your task is making chocolate chip cookies, I like that task. Go be the best chocolate chip cookie maker that can be, and be one that is prepared to ask yourself the question, who am I and what's going on here? And maybe, just maybe, you can learn something from somebody around you who would offer you a moment and allow yourself to be a little vulnerable, just a little vulnerable, maybe even a lot vulnerable, in being able to recognize what God can do. In a moment or two, we're going to, after we do the people joining the church, we're gonna sing a little bit about being sent out into God's world. And I had it marked here. It is 671. But I took the mark out. What did I do that for, Emily? Okay, I guess I need to be vulnerable here. But we're going to sing in a moment about how it is that God is going to send us out of here. And the words we're going to sing is, "Oh, refresh us. Oh, refresh us traveling through this wilderness." I wonder if part of the idea of refreshment includes the idea of making ourselves just a little vulnerable, opening ourselves up to God's Holy Spirit in all that we do. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we come in this morning seeking words of wisdom, ancient words that lead us on our way. Allow the words that you have given us through song, liturgy, prayer, proclamation, warm our hearts. May it warm our hearts in such a way that we can see your call on each of us, so that we can be your disciples, your students in the world, who move out into the world in action. And all of God's children say, Amen.
Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.